Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand. The ushers are in the aisles. Be glad to let you borrow one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Father, once again, we pray you'd speak by your Spirit to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, every time I go away, and I come back, I am so grateful for this church. I'm really grateful for you guys and that God has called me and allowed me to be the pastor here at Cornerstone. And as I read the book of Corinthians, I am really grateful that I'm not the pastor of the church of Corinth, because they got a lot of problems. I mean, you guys got problems, but these guys got really problems. We've seen some of those problems. He's corrected them in areas of division, of carnality, of immorality, of marriage issues, of communion and how they take communion. And now with spiritual gifts, he's dealing with them on these issues of how to practice these spiritual gifts and how to apply them. And we've seen the overview of that. And now he turns to this issue of division over the gifts and over what parts of the body do what and how important they are. But really, he brings it to the importance of unity. And what we need really is diverse unity. There's diversity, yes, but we need unity within that diversity. Paul uses the term one over and over. He uses one spirit, one body, over and over in these passages. And he's laying out an essential for the body of Christ to work together in unity. And he points out, though, that we are differing parts of the body. And he uses the illustration, as we're going to see, of the human body to point out that each of these parts are vital parts. All parts are vital. As he says in verse 12, for as the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink of into one Spirit. We are all one in Christ. If you have been born again and you've had Jesus Christ come into your life, you are part of the universal body of Christ. Now, Paul, of course, here is speaking to the local body of Corinth. And we have our local body here of Cornerstone. Excuse me. And the first point he makes here is that we are one body brought together in one Spirit. Just as Jesus was one human body, so too this church of Corinth is one spiritual body. And so too is his body. You know, by the way, you can't join the church. You know, if you wanted to join this church, you really couldn't join this church. The body of Christ is something you have to be born into. In fact, you have to be born again into it. If you wanted to join this church, and I have some people come to me and they'll say, Pastor Chris, how do I join the church? I say, well, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Do you like this church? Yes. Congratulations, you're a member. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with church membership. Some churches do more formal church membership. That's okay. It's not particularly my thing. I don't really think it's that important. But you really can't join a church anyway. You have to be born into it. Born again into it, really. And there's a diversity in the church. I mean, look around us. You know, there are all different age groups, all different nationalities, even language, different languages that people speak in church. There's all different kinds of colors of people and shades. And Peter says that we're a peculiar people. Some of you are more peculiar than others. But we look around and we see this body. Every part of this body is vital to the work. And he says, but God has set the members, each one of them in the body, look at verse 18, just as he pleased. God is the one who sets each member of the body in place, as he pleases. God is the one who chooses who is in the body and what part or role they play in the body. So if you don't like your role or your part in the body, you need to complain to God about that, not anybody else. We're all one, and we are individual parts, and every part is vital. Every part is important. And the second thing is that no part of the body is independent from another part of the body. We're not independent, we're actually interdependent on each other. In fact, in verse 14 he says, for in fact the body is not one member but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because you say you're not part of the body, you're not part of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? You see, some people in the body, some parts of the body of Christ, feel inferior to other parts of the body of Christ. Some people in the church will say, if I cannot be X, then I don't want to be part of this body, this church, this local persuasion of the body. And there are many Christians who stop even being a part of a church, a local church body. And that's not a healthy thing. You can be a Christian and you'll go to heaven, but you will not be all you can be in this life as a believer if you're not part of a church body. So people will say, well, I'm not good enough. I can't sing. I can't, you know, do the things that a lot of people can do. And so I'm not good enough, so I'm not worthy. Well, listen, can we just get this out of the way? None of us are worthy, all right? Let's just lay that down right now. Because if you think you're worthy, you're not. So none of us are worthy. Paul illustrates this with the human body, as we said. The human body is fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist said. And so also is the body of Christ. The amazing human body we have, and the spiritual body is even more so. As we look around, again, we see all the different races, all the different age groups, social status. And Paul, in using the human body, says, imagine if your foot said, I'm not a hand, so I cannot, I'm not hanging out anymore. I'm leaving you. Imagine, you know, your foot just leaves you, starts walking down the street. Now, a hand is a very important part of the body, right? It works in an amazing way. The bones and the ligaments join together. They do incredible things. So I'm typing my message last night, and I'm thinking about the fact that I'm typing my message. So I typed. My fingers are moving along the keys of the keyboard on my laptop as my mind is thinking of what I'm typing. It's amazing. That's what I typed when I was doing it. And it is amazing, right? And my hands are used to drive a car, to turn a wheel, to, you know, and some people are very talented with their hands. They use them to precisely take a scalpel and, you know, and cut an incision into the human brain or human flesh. I'm like on my wife's brain tumor. They, you know, there's very skilled hands. I had one girl in between service, one young lady who just graduated college, and she told me that she wants to become an oral surgeon. She can't wait to be an oral surgeon. I said, really? Like, that doesn't interest me at all, to dig into somebody's mouth. She said, it does me. I really want to. I said, well, good. Have a good time. You know? And I'm glad she's got the skilled hands to be able to do that. Others use their hands to get under the hood of a car and take things apart and put them back together without any leftover parts. It's amazing to me. I could take it apart, but getting it back together would be another story. Others are very gifted with their hands, right? They play a musical instrument like a violin or a cello or something, and it's incredible. You watch them and you know, very gifted. Our hands are instruments of affection toward each other. We use them to clap to the Lord. We use them to comfort a child. When the foot, you know, it's not as glamorous, right? It's stuck in a shoe all the time. But the foot is important, right? It's got 26 bones, 107 ligaments, an important part of the body. It has the ability to carry us and balance us for thousands of miles throughout our lifetime. One person said that we travel 65,000 miles in our lifetime on these little dogs we have. A basketball player who jumps and comes down on their feet puts over 500 pounds of pressure on those feet when they land. And those feet don't break down. They don't wear out. The tread lasts pretty good, right? You have all different kinds of feet, right? Some small feet, some very big feet, some grow slow, some grow fast. I remember when my son was 13, 14 years old. One year he grew, his feet grew in one period, a short period of time, a few months, they grew 3 shoe sizes. He's walking around the house just complaining about it. He said, Mom, my feet are killing me. And she said, what do you mean your feet are killing you? I just bought you new sneakers. Well, they're killing me. Takes him in. He was in a size 10 shoe. He needed a size 13. That hurts. But our feet are important, and our hands are important. Every part is important. And you look at, you know, the ear and the eye. He says, you know, the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it they're not, therefore not of the body? You know, imagine again your ear. I don't like being an ear. This hearing thing is bugging me right now. I want to be an eye. And then Paul, I really think he's kind of getting funny here in verse 17, where he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? You know, you have Cyclops, you know. Imagine if we were all just a bunch of eyes sitting here right now. First of all, you would be sitting here looking at me, and I'd just be looking at you, and we wouldn't be speaking because I'd have no mouth because I'd just be one big eye. Right? How weird would that be? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Well, you know where the smelling is. It's back in the feet, so we'll just leave that alone. The point is, each one of us is a part of the body, and all of us has a valuable part. Now, some will say, well, I think I'm just a little toe on the end of the foot with fungus. No. It's an allegory. Remember, it's not really saying we're literally feet or literally eyes or literally noses or literally. It's an allegory of what the body is like, that the body needs to work together. So don't start thinking you're a smelly toe. But some do feel inferior, and the ears need the eyes and the nose and so on, and the feet and the hands and the eyes need each other. Everything needs each other to coordinate, to work together. In fact, when things don't work together, we look at that as really a shame. You know, sad thing when someone has a stroke and part of their body won't work. But some also act superior toward other parts of the body. And that was clearly a problem in Corinth. And look at verse 20. He says, "For now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and yet the eye, and the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Again, you're part of the body. Your body is not going to say to you, the other part of your body, "I don't need you." Now, we don't give it a thought. You know, our feet just work, our hands just work, everything coordinates. But, you know, we're not going to, "Hey, I don't like this foot anymore. I think I'll cut it off." And each part of the body is necessary. No matter how minuscule it might seem or how small. And he says, "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary," in verse 22. We need, behind the scenes, prayer warriors. If you have the gifts and the ability to be an intercessor, man, we need you. Now, you won't necessarily get a lot of accolades for that on this side of heaven. I think we're going to be very surprised when we get to heaven at those people who are getting wonderful crowns, and they're being showered by the Lord with crowns. We're going, "What did they ever do? I never saw them do anything." That's the point. Nursery workers, we need you. We need a cleaning team as well as the outreach team and the moms group leaders and the home group leaders. And some in Corinth were apparently excluding others from the body because they couldn't relate to their ministry or to part of the body. And I've seen this in the church. In fact, I've seen it sometimes when people come back off the mission field. You know, they're used to a certain kind of lifestyle, and then they come back and they're accusing others or excluding others and saying, "Well, you're not really a Christian. You're not really walking it out because you're not living it the way I should live it." Listen, not everyone is called to go in the mission field. In fact, if we were all called to go to the mission field, there'd be no money to send anybody to the mission field, right? So some of us are called to stay here. But we all partake in the reward of it. I remember the story in the Old Testament with David when he sends out a team to go to battle. And he takes one group of men and he tells them to guard the lentils. That's their job, guard the beans. Now, that doesn't sound like much of a job, right? But look, they had to have something to eat when they came back. So these fellows guard the beans, and then when they take the spoil from the war and they come back, they share among those who guarded the beans. They get an equal share. Maybe you're a bean guarder. That's okay. It's just as important. And there are many parts of the human body that we don't see, but they are essential. Let me just say this. Not many of you woke up this morning, probably none of you woke up this morning thinking about your pancreas, right? Did anybody wake up thinking, don't raise your hand, I know it's not true, or your liver? Like, you know, I hope my liver works today. None of us think about those things. There's parts of our body that are hidden that we don't see, but they are extremely necessary, and so too in the church, those parts we don't see are essential to the body. And it's wonderful to know that there are people that just serve each other in this church. You know, there are women who are going out and giving meals to ladies who've just had babies or people who are sick. And you don't hear about them. You don't know about them. There's a team of men who go and work on widows' homes and people's homes who can't help themselves. And they come in and they fix their homes. You don't hear about those guys. Now, if you need them, let us know. We'll send them to you. There's a cleaning crew that shows up here at 7 a.m. every Saturday morning to make this place look nice and cleaned up and all set for you guys to come in and mess it up again. They're here every Saturday morning. And there's these people who work in the nursery that listen, take care of the screaming babies and the poopy diapers. And I can tell you, the moms who walk out of here are really glad they walk out with a clean kid. All behind-the-scenes stuff. It's not very glamorous. You know, you say, wow, I just can't wait to change a poopy diaper. Man, I just can't wait to get back there. Nobody thinks that way, of course. But those moms who come for worship are thankful and grateful for that, that they can come and quietly serve and listen to the word. It says verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which seems to lack. God composed the body, having given honor to that part which lacks. If someone feels they're in a hidden or unglamorous member of the body of Christ, God knows how to bestow honor on you and on that person. And verse 25 tells us the reason this is so important, that Paul doesn't want them to be this way because there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That there should be no schism, no division, no reason for this, for a schism in the body. Those who have pride or the honorable member is checked and has the shame of the less honorable member. There should not be a division between them. Your human body doesn't have a schism. If it does, we call that, you know, that's wrong, that's weird. There's something wrong with you if you have a schism in your body. And the other thing that we see here in this text is that all parts rejoice and hurt together. Notice, if one member suffers, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If one member of the body is hurting, we all hurt. When we're aware, if you are aware and you know that one of your brothers and sisters is hurting and broken, we all are in that place. I spent some time with a woman this week who is in this, probably the final stages of cancer. Let me tell you, I hurt for her and for her family. I got a call earlier this week from a lady whose husband is having kidney failure. I hurt for him. My heart breaks. We all hurt when we hear this. I heard of a pastor, I don't even know this fellow very well, I know him a little bit, in Colorado, whose son, 26-year-old son, is in a coma. And my heart went out to him. And they're putting him on hospice now. They're not giving out any hope that this young man will come out of the coma. You know, this is part of the body. These are all people that are part of our body, the body of Christ. And we all, our heart breaks for every one of them. Another one that I had a family member commit suicide this past week. I was with a pastor, a man who used to be in the mission field, and he had his nephew that he just got word while we were together at the conference that his nephew committed suicide in Sweden. Man, we wept and we prayed with that guy, because when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And if you're hurting today and you need prayer after the service, there'll be brothers available here and in the foyer. And you know, maybe you're hurting and you haven't told anybody. Well, we want to know, because we're part of your body. We're part of a family. And that's what families do. You know, a lot of times when we're going through something, we feel bad and we tell somebody. And we're like, well, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to be a bother. Listen, be a bother. We're your family. That's what we do. But then also, when one part of the body is rejoicing and doing well, we rejoice with them. And when they're honored, you know, we think of, you know, when they have a baby and they bring the baby into the foyer, all the ladies gather around the baby. They all look down. Oh, look at the baby. They start tickling and stuff. And their voices always go up like that. Like, woo-hoo, you know. It's just the way it is when you're around a baby. You know, where you hear that a brother gets a new job and he's been praying with him, and you rejoice. We rejoice in that. because we're all part of the body. We're all part of the family. You see, Paul is saying, look, you guys shouldn't be jealous of each other. You know, the foot doesn't need to be jealous of the hand. You don't need to have that kind of thing going on in the body. This is what family does, filled with joy over these new things. Dom, I think we can turn that off. And then also it says how God really distributes the gift according to his pleasure. Look at verse 18. It says, now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And this is the point that Paul wants to drive home, that it's of God and that you are members of that body and you are the body of Christ. So as a result of that, there's a part that you play. Every one of us are to play a part in the body. You say, well, I don't know what my part is, Pastor Chris. Well, I'm not sure what it is either, but I know this. God will show you that if you will seek him and you will ask him, he will begin to show you. And sometimes it's a matter of stepping out in faith and trying some things. I talked the last few weeks ago about this, on how, what's your reaction when you see someone? When you see a hurting person, do you feel mercy toward them or do you think they need to, you know, you need to get them going in the right direction? Well, you can see what kind of giftings you have according to how you respond. It's God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, sending out ones. Second prophets, those who speak the word in season. Third, teachers, declaring the truth. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then Paul begins to ask these rhetorical questions in verse 29. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? The answer clearly is no. Notice, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I'm always amazed when I see this. The answer is clearly no. And it's amazing how some would argue that we have to have all the gifts. Or some would say you must have the gift of tongues, for example, especially tongues. In fact, there are whole denominations. Some will say that if you don't have the gift of tongues, you're not even saved. Others will say, well, you could be saved without the gift of tongues, but if you don't have the gift of tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's just theologically wrong. Paul clearly says, do all speak in tongues? The answer is no, they don't. And listen, Jesus never spoke in tongues as far as we know. Now, maybe he couldn't because they're called unknown tongues, and what tongue would he not know? That's just my theory. The point is, God is the one who gives the gifts, and we should be satisfied with what he has given us and made us. We should not be jealous of one another or looking at one another saying, wish I could do that, I know I want to do this. Or no, be who you are and let God use your life where you are. And earnestly desire the best gifts, he says, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. And he's going to get into that in chapter 13. And it is interesting how chapter 12 speaks about the gifts and chapter 14 speaks about the gifts again, and sandwiched right in between there is chapter 13, which is all about love. Because if you try and practice the gifts without love, well, that's when it becomes really dysfunctional. Love has got to be sandwiched right in the middle of everything. We'll look at that next week. But we should desire the gifts. But look again at verse 25, that the members should have the same care for one another at the end of verse 25. See, Paul wants us to care for each other, and this is the key in using all of our gifts, is that we do it for edification. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 in closing this message. And I want you to see something here on how the purpose of the ministry of the Spirit is so tied in with this body life, the unity of the body. Verse 11, chapter 4, he says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, the fourfold ministry. And you might say, you see five, but there's really four. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. One word. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now notice that these overseeing gifts were given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means build up. See, the gifts are given to build up the body. Till we all come together to the unity of the faith, come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, notice that, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You see, if you don't do your part, you are impacting the whole body and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body of Christ is made to join together, to work together as one unified unit. And again, I am tremendously blessed on what we accomplish as a church and how the body here at Cornerstone works. But I know there's more, folks. And I want each and every one of you to pray and ask God, what part of the body are you supposed to be? How are you supposed to serve and work? What are you supposed to be doing in the body of Christ? Because God has called you to serve him. Now, if you're brand new with us, you're like, what do you mean, called to serve? I don't even know if I'm going to go to this church. Well, we'll give you a little time. We'll start you in 2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. Now, we usually have you sit and relax for a while and get used to the church and make sure this is where you want to be. But once you are, God did not save you to leave you as you are. God saved you to use you. And it is in serving that you receive. It is in serving that you are blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And God wants to use every one of our lives for his glory, because we are the body. Amen? Let's bow our hearts.